Thank you. On behalf of the staff and leadership and everybody, we just welcome you once again. And moms especially, happy Mother's Day. So glad to have you here and have an opportunity to share with you. I don't know if you guys knew this or not. I've never been a mom. But I understand being a mother is not a walk in the park. In fact, I heard of a junior high science teacher was teaching the class about magnets and how magnets, you know, it sticks to metal objects, et cetera. So magnets, okay. And the next day, so that day they're teaching about magnets. The next day, he got up to do a little quiz with the students. And this is what he wrote on the board. My name begins with an M. It has six letters, and I pick things up. Half the class said, mother. I know. Can you believe it? But some people say moms. How do you describe a mom? Mom, one person who does the work of 20 for free. Sometimes motherhood gets the best of us, though. I say us, even though I'm not one. I heard a story about this. These people, they invited all these families over for lunch, and they're having lunch with all these families, and the mom was getting a little stressed out, but had it taken care of, and they sat down to eat the meal, and the mom turned to their little six-year-old daughter and said, hey, why don't you pray the prayer blessing over the meal, and the little kid got a little nervous. It's like, mom, I don't even know what I would say, And the mom said, well, just say whatever mommy says. It'll be fine. And she's like, okay. So she bowed her head, and they all started praying. She said, dear Jesus, why in the world did I have all these people over here for dinner? Even moms have a rough day, right? And then we all have that one mom. My kids are blessed with this mom. The story goes that there was two people driving on a highway. I gotta move this music stand so I can see everybody over here. There's people that were driving on a highway, and they passed a car, and as they did, there's a little boy in the back seat held up a sign, help! And they drove past. And they got a little bit nervous. What's going on? I don't understand. What if there's someone really needs help? So they kind of slowed down so the car would pull up, and the little boy held up another sign. My mom is singing. Well, that's a good one. I don't suppose you know. I'm going to keep going until you laugh really hard. That's the first couple of stories I shared. You got disappointed in those, I could tell. What is the best flower to give to your mom on Mother's Day? A mama. Okay, how about this one? What do young computers do on Mother's Day? Young computers, they give memory cards to their motherboards. Why do sons love Mother's Day so much? Because it's always on a sun day. Ooh. Why were the rope children, why were the rope children so well behaved on Mother's Day? They were trying not to be naughty. One more. Don't throw rotten tomatoes or anything. I worked hard at this list. Why was the house so neat on Mother's Day? Because mom spent all day Saturday cleaning it. Woo! Is that true? All right, turn in your Bibles with me, will you? Acts chapter 9. What's that? Okay, yeah, turn to Acts chapter 9, but you want one more? Okay, let me tell you one more. While you're turning to Acts chapter 9, let me just tell you one more story. There was an elderly mom. And she had three sons, and all three sons had lots and lots of money. And so money wasn't an issue when it came time to buy their mom a present. They wanted to just bless their mom. And so the first son said, I built mama a big, huge house. The second said, well, I bought mama Mercedes, and I'm paying for a driver. So anywhere she wants to go, she can go. The third son came along and said, I've outdid all of you. You know how much mom enjoys the Bible, but she can't see very well, so she can't read it. And so I sent her a brown parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 monks in a monastery 12 years to teach this parrot how to recite the Bible. I had to pledge to commit $100,000 a year for the next 10 years, but it was worth every single penny, because now you just say John 3:16 and the parrot says, "For God so loved the world." And okay, you get the picture here. Okay, so he had it all set up. Sometime later, the mom's writing thank you notes and writes to the first son, "Dear Milton, the house you built is so huge. I only live in one room, but I have to clean the whole thing." Not much of a thank you note. "Dear Marvin," she wrote to the second, "I'm too old to travel. I stay home all the time, so I never use the Mercedes, and the driver is rude." And then, "Dearest Melvin, you're the only son that had the good sense to know what your mother likes. That chicken was delicious." Let's get into the Word of God. So a month or two ago, my grandmother, one of my favorite moms in the world, one of many, she went to be with Jesus, funeral services are interesting because, you know, you that's part of your job as a pastor. You lead the funeral service and share a message. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit just gave me such a word to share with my family. And as I was thinking about Mother's Day, as preparing for this, I couldn't get that out of my heart. So I just want to share with you a little bit about a lady in the New Testament. You ready for this? Her name was Dorcas. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, "You're such a Dorcas." And that's a prophetic word. It's going to be good. In Acts chapter 9, though, we start not with Dorcas, Aramaic, Tabitha. I could call her Tabitha, but I like calling her Dorcas. So we're going to talk about Dorcas. But before we get to Dorcas, we got to talk about another guy, and that's Simon Peter. Simon Peter, in Acts chapter 9, verse 32, if you're there, read it with me. "As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda." Okay, let's stop for a second. Peter. At this point, Simon Peter was the leader of the apostles, right? So he was the leader of the apostles. He's a great man of faith. And the last time he was mentioned was actually earlier in chapter 8. But there's a little verse. In fact, it's at the end of chapter 8. Chapter 9, verse 31. It's just one verse before our text. If you have your Bibles open, look at chapter 9, verse 31. "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord." Whew, what a powerful verse. And so much good stuff even then. But understand, there was persecution going on. But now there was peace. Now they were at peace. And so the church had been spread out all over. All over. There's believers that had gone all over. And here was Peter wanting to do what? Scripture says he went to visit the saints. Why was he visiting them? Because he loved them. These were new believers. These were young believers. And I just say this just to say, we need each other. We need gifted men and women of God to come and speak into our lives and speak truth, speak hope, speak blessing into our lives. Let's be that kind of a church. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Let's respond to the word of the Lord. So Peter began, in this time of peace, Peter began to travel. He began to travel all over, here, there, doing what he could to encourage the saints. In fact, scripture says he went to Lydda, and I know you're all wondering, where in the world is Lydda? So let's just look at my map. Here we go. Okay, so you can see over here to the right is Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Those are kind of the big ones that when you're reading the Gospels, that kind of gives you in Israel where we're at. Keep going, Emmaus, and you get to, oh, look at that. Someone's got the, right there it is. Lydda, thank you. Right there it is. Good work, Nathan. And so we're in Lydda, and suddenly he just disappears. So that's where it's at. It's some maybe 20, 25 miles west of Jerusalem. So it wasn't too far, but it was far. He's over there ministering, trying to encourage the saints and visiting the church people. Now look at verse 33. "There he found a man named Aeneas." Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Oh, let's stop just for a second. You ready for this? When you read things in the scripture, just understand it's in there for a reason. There's a reason it's in there. He doesn't say that he's just a paralytic. He's a crippled. He can't walk. He doesn't just say that. He says he's been that for 8 years. Do you know what that says to me? That says to me that that this gentleman, Aeneas, he knew what it was like to walk. I mean, I'm thinking about just like the way that God inspired these people to write scripture, how powerful that was. It wasn't just he had been 8 years. Well, what that says to us is that he knew what it was like to walk. He wasn't just dealing with the fact that he couldn't walk, he couldn't get around, but he knew what it was like to run and leap and jump. He knew what it was like to play games with his siblings and his friends on the street. He understood that. And then the emotional toil of knowing, it's kind of like when you talk to somebody who's maybe broken a toe. Has anyone ever broken a toe? Do you want to admit it? Will you admit it? Okay, there's a few people. All right. I've never broken a toe. I've stubbed a toe, but I've never broken a toe. But I'm told it throws you off. Why? Because if you lost one of your toes, I pray you never do. But if you do, I mean, just imagine. I was practicing this the other day. I'm just walking without toes. My toes are curled up right now. I would walk a lot different if it wasn't for my toes. But you give me those toes, and I'm smooth, right? This is good. But I lose those. You don't know what you have until suddenly you stub one, you break one. It's like, oh, man, this is horrible. And so as we look at the text today, put yourself in this situation. Put yourself in these people. Aeneas, he not only was a paralytic, but he had known what it was like. It was only for 8 years that he'd been sitting on that mat, probably begging, wanting people to help. And then verse 34 goes down. Look at it. Yes, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up. And all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon, the area around them, saw him and turned to the Lord. Oh, wow. A gift of faith, a gift of miraculous powers broke up inside of Peter. And he's like, I believe God is going to heal this man in the name of Jesus Christ. Much like earlier on in Acts chapter 3, do you remember? He said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's where the power is. Listen, whenever you see anyone praying for healing or getting healing, it's not because something is so great in that person. It's because Jesus Christ resides in that person. And when they pray in the name of Jesus, that's when the miraculous begins to happen. And he said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the miracle, notice it says that the whole area, look at verse 35, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. The interesting word there is all. Can you imagine a miracle that would happen in our church today? That all of Middlebury would turn to Jesus. All of Elkhart County, all of this region. Can you imagine? It would so shake Shipshawana. It would so shake Goshen, Indiana. That's like, whoa, look what God is doing. Do you think God could do that? Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for anyone who's here in this room right now, watching at home. Come on, pray with me. I pray in the name of Jesus for the supernatural miracle for that person to go walking in health and wholeness, but also that anyone who is yet to follow you would see your hand move and that many people would find Christ because of it. Lord, we receive it now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Many people put their faith in Jesus Christ because of this miracle. So this is what I want you to get. Okay, Peter, Simon Peter, is the great apostle. Peter's the one who Jesus was doing things through, like, I don't know, healing people, raising dead people. You know, that was the Apostle Peter. We need Simon Peters in our life. Am I right? We need great men and women of faith. Think about everything you know about Simon Peter. He's the one in Matthew chapter 14 that did what? Jesus is coming towards them on the water, and they're getting kind of spooked out. You can read about it in the gospel. They're like, who's that coming? Who's that coming? And Jesus said, don't be fearful. It's me, Jesus. And And all the others were still on the boat. And what is Simon Peter doing? Hey, Jesus, if it's really you, call me. Tell me to come. And Jesus is like, let's go. He's like, come on. I've been watching all these, I don't know why I enjoy watching this, but all these guys that are getting drafted the past couple weeks in the NFL, and I'm not even watching the NFL right now, but when I see the phone call and they're talking to the coach, if you haven't seen any of these, you just need to Google it, YouTube, whatever, but you know, they're sitting there, all their families behind them, and they're trying to be quiet, but they're all excited. Yes, coach, yes, I'm gonna play harder than anyone's ever played harder for you. We're gonna make a change. And he said, thank you so much for taking me, whatever. And as soon as they hang up, let's go! I mean, they just come alive, and the room is like they're jumping on top of each other and whatever. And I just got a feeling, Simon Peter's like, wait a minute, you guys can stay back here. Jesus, if that's really you, come on, let's go. Can I come and join you? And Jesus is like, bring it on, come on. And so Peter starts walking on the water, and this is a whole nother message. As Simon Peter's walking out there, he's like, hey guys, peace in the Middle East, literally. I'm out of here. And he's walking on the water. Of course, then he begins to sink, gets his eyes off of Jesus and whatever. That's a whole nother message. But who was the one that took that step? You know what? We need great men and women of faith. Maybe I should say this. We need men and women who will put their faith in the great and awesome, all-powerful God, who are willing to step out and take steps and say, does Middlebury need another RV company? Well, sure, as long as you're going to do it for the glory of God. But does Middlebury need another one of these? Does Elkhart County need does this region need this? Could we do? Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's bring it on. Let's do it for the glory of God. Let's step out. And that's as we establish ourselves, let's be like Simon Peter, full of faith. Let's let God fill us with faith as we step out and do new things. You think about Simon Peter. He wasn't always, sometimes his mouth got in the way, right? The Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses and Jesus, and they're having quite a time up there on the mountain. It's like, you know what? We ought to just camp out here. I'll make some shelters, some tents, some things. And Jesus is like, Simon Peter, just zip the lip there, throw away. What about the time when Jesus said, Simon Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of man. So Peter wasn't perfect, but you see this man of faith, he didn't want to just sit around and let it come to him. He's going out and taking the kingdom by force. I love that about Peter. That's who Simon Peter was. Peter was one who preached the message in Acts chapter 2. And how many people got saved? Thousands, 3,000 people got saved. That was Simon Peter. Okay, Simon Peter. Now let's talk about Dorcas. Let's talk about Dorcas. Look with me to verse 39. Peter went with them verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. Can you throw that map back up real quick? Let's just let you see this. So further on to the coast. Now, Lida, I didn't point this out, but just FYI, geography, it's interesting to me. You see this green line, that's kind of where Philip came up, but it's also the direction you would come if you were coming from Egypt or whatever. So Lida was a very important little town, little community. And now Joppa, others were in Joppa, and they heard what happened in Lida. Let's read about it. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Verse 37. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. What do we know about Dorcas? Nothing. This is all we know. She's not mentioned before. She's not mentioned after. Dorcas was known for doing what, though? She's known for just doing good things. She was always doing good. She was always, the word there is the feeling is benevolence. She was always doing benevolent things, always helping others, doing good, helping the poor. The New Living Translation of Acts 9:36 says it this way. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. Oh, but listen, did she ever heal anyone? No. Does the Bible record that she did any miracles? No. Did she ever raise any dead people? No. Did she ever walk on water? No. What was she known for? Just for doing good. In verse 39, Peter went with them, and so he said, yeah, I'll go. So he went, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room where Dorcas was, and all the windows stood around, all the widows, big difference, all the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with him. Put yourself in that room that day, will you? The widows were standing around Peter, showing him the clothes and the robes. Look at this, Peter. Peter, Simon Peter, will you come here, man of God? I want you to see, this is my son. And some time ago, my husband died and left us all alone. We didn't have any money, we didn't have nothing. But you know who was there for me? It was Dorcas. It was Dorcas that made these clothes. You see this robe my son has on? I'm so proud of that. Do you know who made Dorcas? And watch this. I know, Jesus, you may not, I heard you were a carpenter, but I want you to come. Look real close. See how these seams were? If you just let these seams out a little further, it expands as he grows. Oh, sure, when he was little, it was a little too long for him, but he just grew right into it. You know who made that? She didn't charge me a penny. Dorcas made that. Do you know what encouragement that was to me and my family and my life? And oh, she didn't heal anyone. She didn't raise anyone from the dead. But boy, did she reach people with the love of Jesus. Boy, did she make a difference in people's lives. Peter, look over here. See all these people mourning and wailing. Every one of them has some piece of clothing that Dorcas at some point had made for them or for their children. She was a great woman of God. Verse 40, Peter sent them all out of the room. And he got down on his knees. And he prayed. Turning towards the dead, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. And this became known all over Joppa, and many more people believed in the Lord. This is the last we hear of Dorcas. She never wrote any books of the Bible. There's not a book of Dorcas or the second book of Dorcas. There's a First Peter. Microphone seems to be going in and out. I'll just keep talking. We understand. Let me just switch over to this one. And so Peter, he wrote the books of the Bible. Peter did the supernatural. Peter did the miraculous. What did Dorcas do? She did good things. She went about doing good. So my question to you today is, who's more important? The Simon Peters of the world or the Dorcases? You see, church tradition doesn't say that Dorcas was crucified upside down, but it does say that about Peter. Church history doesn't say anything about any more about Dorcas in scriptures, but Peter's one of the main characters. But who is more important? And I think you know the answer to that. Neither. Both of them are important. And this is what was in my heart for moms. You may feel the pressure today. Moms, let me just speak into your life. You may feel the pressure, no matter if your kids are little or if they're adult and been out of the house for a long time. You may feel the pressure to be a super mom, but I want to encourage you today to find fulfillment in the mundane. Find fulfillment in the everyday task of loving on your family and loving your children, particularly the stage of raising your kids from 0 to 18. Find fulfillment in that season of your life as you love on and disciple and care for those kids, doing many of the seemingly ordinary, mundane things. My concern is that for some of you ladies, you've bought into the lie that being a mom with a focus on your kids, going about just doing good, is not as grand or as amazing or as exciting as an opportunity to raise dead people or walk on water or to travel around. But your call to be a mom is one of the highest callings on your life. It's above a career. Nothing wrong with a career, but motherhood is more important than that.
biblically. It's above any kind of worldly reward or accolade. Your call to love and disciple and care for your kids is the number one agenda in your life as a mom. Some would look at the life of Simon Peter and say it was so much more powerful than the life of Dorcas, who just went about doing good. But you would simply be wrong. Don't write off Dorcas. Don't write off the Dorcases of your life. In fact, I'd encourage you to be a Dorcas. In fact, everybody turn to your neighbor and look at him and say, be a Dorcas. That was kind of weak, but I'll take it. Be a Dorcas. Let me share a quick example for you from Scripture. Check this out. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul is talking about Timothy. Have you seen this? I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith. Where did that faith come from? Which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded now lives in you also. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy and saying, Timothy, I remember your grandma. I remember your mom. Great men and women, great women of faith. Man, they poured into your life and I can see it. It's wonderful. The Bible never records much more about Grandma Lois or Mama Eunice, but you see the fruit of their lives poured out through the ministry of Timothy. Hear me, I'm not saying that God will never use every woman in this room, every mom in this room to the supernatural. I'm not saying that God won't use you to do that. What I am saying is let's never let the everyday routine of motherhood make you feel like you are not accomplishing anything in life or for the Lord, because you are. And the enemy, go ahead, that's a great place to clap, can you? Just go ahead, agree with me on that. The enemy wants nothing more than to make you feel like you're a lesser than. But I'm telling you, God's word says so much different than that. In fact, let's just look a little more at Grandma Lois and Mama Eunice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Look at this. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. Where did they learn it? And have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Let that be said of every mother in this room, that from infancy your children were taught the Holy Scriptures. You say, Scott, I haven't done well at that. Hey, there's no time greater than the present. You say, Scott, my kids are out of the house. Hey, there's no time greater than the present. Do you know how to text? Then you can pour Scripture into their lives. Just encourage them. Say, hey, I was praying for you today, and I felt the Lord lay this on my heart. Let me just text it. I just want you to just read this. Just be encouraged. I'm praying for you. Whatever stage of life your children are in, there's no time like the present just to go about doing good. What sometimes you see as a Dorcas-like life, God sees as the building ground for his next warrior or daughter or son of faith. Are you sitting there changing your third diaper of the day, a very mundane, Dorcas-like thing to do, thinking, I can't believe this is my life right now? Can I just encourage you? Don't forget God has placed that little hiney in your life to pour into, to encourage, to disciple, and to build up, to be a strong man or woman of faith. To build a sincere and powerful faith into, a sincere conviction, because you know for whom you've learned it, from Eunice and Lois. He knew. You show them the love of God, Mom. In fact, Matt hit on it earlier in our worship time. But I'm convinced that there's a natural love that God has given moms for their children that just is, I don't think, dads love their kids too. We'll talk on Father's Day, okay? Just hang on. But moms, listen, you have such an opportunity to show the love of Jesus to your kids, to let them see the love of God. You show them the love of God as you bandage all kinds of wounds, from the physical boo-boos to the emotional, to the relational, to the spiritual wounds. Moms, you're great at showing love. In fact, I would suggest that a mom's love that is compassionate and tender and consistent and sacrificial and selfless all points to the love of God. That's the opportunity you have. In fact, I saw someone do this, and I thought this would be interesting. What if you took 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and you replaced the word love and you put in there the word mom? New Living Translation says it would say it this way. Mom is patient and kind. Mom is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Mom does not demand her own way. Mom is not irritable, and mom keeps no record of when she has been wronged. Mom is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Mom never gives up. Mom never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Maybe a little bit of an exaggeration on a few of those, I don't know. Never irritable, no record of wrongs. But I think looking at a mom is probably the closest thing we have on earth of looking at God's love. Mom, you are so, you say, Scott, everything you just said, I say amen to, but I'm horrible at this. Oh, hear me. There is no perfect mom. In fact, you just need to stop comparing yourself. Easy for me to say. Stop comparing yourself to all the other ladies on social media or whatever. Just make it between you and God and say, God, I'm never going to be like a Simon Peter of moms. I'm never going to be that. But I want to be who you call me to be. And I'm going to trust that you're going to give me the grace and the wisdom and the strength. You can't do this on your own. But with God, all things are possible. And he can and he will use you to pour into your children's lives. Let him do it. Your words of affirmation, your words of encouragement, your uncanny ability to be patient with that son or daughter when everything within you is about to lose it. It's God-given. I think about the love of my own mom. Let me just kind of conclude with a story here. I've shared some of this. I was sharing with my girls the other day how I so wished that I could have known my mom as a grown man. You know, my mom went to be with Jesus when I was 15. And even at that point, I was 15 going into 16. And I still saw my mom as a little boy, right? I mean, maybe that's the way it always is. Is that right, fellas? Maybe you're always mom's little boy. I don't know. If she's still doing your laundry and making your bed, there's issues, but we ought to talk. But, you know, one of the greatest things about my mama was she was such an encourager to me. And I've shared some of these stories with you before, but I'll never forget pulling out of the old Ready Mart downtown. It's a tackle and bait store that just moved out downtown. But there's a hill going onto Main Street, and we had the Pontiac Fiero, my dream car. 1984 Pontiac Fiero, 2M4. I wanted a 2M6, six-cylinder. Didn't get it, but 2M4. I say I wanted it for mom. It was my dream car, and so I remember driving that Fiero as a four-speed manual shift. I was learning to drive. It was a tough car to learn on, but someone had to do it, you know. And so I remember on that hill, you know, if you ever drive a manual, you know, if you let off the brake and your clutch is in, you're rolling backwards, hitting the car behind you. You don't want to do that, but you can't jump out into driving. So it's kind of this, you let the clutch out a little bit and give it a little gas, you know, just kind of hold yourself there. Nice, smooth takeoff. And I can go to the spot where my mom said, good job, son. Good job, Scott. You did really good on that. She was an encourager. She was always encouraging me. I mean, I think sometimes we can encourage our kids to the point of pride. We got to guard ourselves against that. But she did in a healthy way. I remember I've told you the story before when we're going in the summertime, and I was like, Mom, I was a little guy, and I was like, Mom, I feel a little bit chubby. I'm just a little chubby. And my mom was like, oh, Scott, you're going to be playing Little League this summer. You're going to be running all around. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Get all the way through the summer into the fall. I was like, Mom, I still feel a little chubby. She's like, oh, don't worry about it. You're going to be going back to school. You're going to be playing recess. You got gym class. And, you know, and now I go to the doctor, and the doctor says, Scott, you're chubby. My mom says, doesn't work that way. She was always my encourager. I miss her, of course, But moms, I share that story just to say, God bless you. And let God be your strength today and every day to be the mama that your kids need. Don't let the enemy make you feel like you can't do this, because you can. I'll encourage you on the authority of the Word of God, be a Dorcas. You might never be the superstar mom. That's okay. You be the empowered by the Holy Spirit mom that God desires you to be, and let him empower you to be the mom that he wants you to be. I'd like everybody to stand with me. Some of you are like, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to get out of here. We'll get you out of here. But just before we do, I'd like to pray over every mom today. And so I'd like to invite any moms that would be willing, would you just come and just come up here to the front and just line up, and we're going to pray for you over a second. So mama, as you come, let me share one more story. There were four scholars who were arguing about a Bible translation, and one said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty and eloquence in the Old English. Another said he liked the New American Standard Version because it was very literal and how it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feeling of accuracy, the original text. The third scholar was sold on the New Living Translation for its use of the contemporary phrases and how it captures the meaning of a difficult passage. But there was four of them, and the fourth one, is they're talking about King James, is they're talking about the New American Standard, and they're talking about the Living Translation. The fourth one, he paused. All these are theologians. And the fourth one paused, and he said, I personally prefer my mother's translation. When the other scholars started laughing, he said, yeah, she translated the scriptures. My mom translated each page of the Bible into life, and it's the most convincing translation I have ever read. And that's my encouragement to you. Let's just take the Bible and just live it out before your kids. Talk to your kids about it. Encourage them with the Word. But you have a high calling. Don't let anyone ever tell you differently. You have a high calling. You don't have to be a super mom, but every day you can go about doing good just like all the Dorcases. Let's all be Dorcases in this room. Hallelujah. We